bless you all.
God bless you.
Wow. Let's stand and read the Bible. And then whatever else I say afterwards, hopefully won't be a complete waste of time this evening, because at least we'll have read the Bible more than once. So this might sound a little, bold, this scripture, using the scripture. So I don't mean it as like me personally, but I want to give us a little background, okay? And I'll tell you the part where I don't mean me personally, okay? And in Luke chapter 1. And it says in verse 1, "Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which were most surely believed among us, even as they witnessed them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also," and this is the part that I'm not, like, this isn't me, okay? "Having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first," Luke must add a real good revelation in order to have the boldness to write those words, okay? I'm not saying that about me this evening. "To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." And while you're on your feet, let's just turn over for another scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12, and it says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, speak through such a voice as mine. Speak this evening, draw us close to you, and listen through such ears as ours, and help us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. So, Elisha and Emma just restarted school. And Rachel brought me the notebook that Elisha is using. And in the front, I must have been using it as a notepad, because in the front of that was a couple of pages that I'd written things on. And one of those things that I'd written on was this piece of paper. And I looked at it, and it says, 10 reasons to show why we are at the end time. And it's got a list of 10 reasons to show why we're at the end time. And so I thought it would be good, not having a perfect understanding of everything like our dear brother Luke had. Luke knew enough that God said, yep, that's it, put it in the Bible. Okay? But at least to share some of the things that I see. I know there are more than 10. But to go through this list, 10 reasons to show why we're at the end time. Just to maybe encourage you, maybe it's remind you of things, maybe jog your memory. If you think of other things, feel free to share them, okay? Because we believe where we stand, and then we need to know why. How many people have had this experience? Someone asks you a question, you say, I believe that. And they ask you, why do you believe that? And you say, oh, I don't know. Or this, you know, Brother Branham said this. Well, where did he say it? It's like, well, I read it somewhere years ago, and it just stuck with me. And you're like, well, I have to go and look up, and, you know, you got to go dig through, and it's like, oh, that's why, you know. And just to say, do you believe we're at the end time? Okay. Why do you believe that? we're going to go through 10 reasons why. And maybe for some of the young ones, it'll be a little encouragement, a little learning. For some of the old ones, a little reminding. And so these are the 10 reasons I wrote down. It says the Roman Catholic Church is the dragon stroke fourth power, which was destroyed at the end. 2, prophetic confirmation by Brother Branham. 3, fulfillment of Malachi 4, the spirit of Elijah. 4, like the days of Noah, Matthew 24. 5, days of Lot, homosexuality, Romans. 6, 10 women, one man, scripture fulfilled. Well, I know that's wrong, because, we just read that on Sunday, 7. So by no means do I have a perfect understanding, but that scripture we talked about. 7, world peace is something people want. 8, wars and earthquakes in diverse places. 9, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, falling away in the land of sin. And 10, worshipping of false gods. So, that's an overview. Israel and our homeland. Yeah. That's another important one that I missed off this list. Okay? So we're not going to get to Israel and the homeland tonight. In fact, I don't know how far down this list we're going to get before we go over to communion, because it is a Wednesday service and we don't have all night. So we are going to start. The Roman Catholic Church. Yeah, let's turn to Daniel. So we're starting just in Daniel chapter 2. And we've gone through this, I'm sure. We'll start at verse 36. You know the dream, and he tells the dream, and the wise men were gonna be killed, but Daniel saved them, and so on. And it says, this is the dream. We will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made you ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these things, it shall break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou saw the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou saw the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Yeah. So, we see, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that told him the history of the world from where he was standing to the end of the world. And the end of time, because that kingdom that Jesus sets up at the end of time is going to stand forever. And that's a good thing. And we want to be identified with the kingdom that stands forever. And we want to say, just like Abraham, he saw a city and he said, its builder and maker is God, and I am looking for that city. And he wandered around looking for that city, looking for the place of that city, saying, I am not going to identify with this world. I'm identifying with the world and with the city to come, because my home isn't down here. My home is in that city that God is going to make. Okay? And so, what kingdom are you identifying with? Are you identifying with this kingdom on this earth? Or are you identifying with the kingdom that is to come? Because, brothers and sisters, oh, it's a wonderful thing. How did, you know, Abraham, he had some trials. He went down to Egypt. But how did he get through the hard times? How did he get through the famine? It's like, you can imagine him thinking, well, it's pretty dry this year. It's pretty dry. Should I move the goat? Should I move the sheep? There are a lot of sheep. Am I going to find enough water? Am I going to find enough food for the sheep? But wait, wait, if I go back down to Egypt, if I go up to where it's green in Syria, what if the kingdom of God comes? What if that city comes down and I'm not here? I'm going to miss it. And so it's more important for me to stay in this land than to wander around, because God told me, stay in this land. Where you walk is yours, and the kingdom, the city, is going to be in this land. So, where's our identification? Is it with this kingdom, or is it with the kingdom to come? Because if it's with the kingdom to come, brothers and sisters, you're not looking at any COVID. You're not looking at any taxes. You're not looking at any problems that you have down here. That's just temporary. God, I'm going to stay here looking for that kingdom, because that kingdom's coming. And if I move out of this spiritual place where that kingdom's going to come to, when it comes, maybe I'll miss it. And I have to knock on the door. Sorry, I was late. Can you let me in? Well, we know that story. They shall be cast out to outer darkness. They shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. But if we can figure out where we are in that image, we know that Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. And then if you look at history, the silver was the Persian Empire. The brass was the Greek Empire. And the iron was the Roman Empire. And then it split into two, Eastern and Western Roman. And then it had the iron and clay at the bottom. The iron and clay. Oh, that's so interesting. The iron and clay. You can take it in many different directions, but I'm going to say the clay is the democracy. It's made of the dust of the earth. It's the people, and it can't stand. Okay, and no democracy. Well, we've just seen that in Afghanistan. You know, the iron and the clay. We can come in with total power and bring down the biggest bombs that anyone ever saw. And then after, what is it, 6 weeks? We're out of the country and everything's crumbled around to dust. And all those people that put their trust in the United Nations and in the United States to say, we're going to build a future in this country for Afghanistan of freedom and equality. And we've got the power that's going to back us, and we can stand forever. Or at least until we defeat the Islamic terrorists. No, they didn't have. What's the phrase? One of the Assyrians came to the children of Israel and said, you're going to trust in Pharaoh? He's like a broken reed. You put your weight on it, it's going to pierce through your hand. You've read that scripture?
Yep.
You know, like a walking stick, and you lean on it, and it breaks, and it stabs you in the hand. Okay? That's the kind of trust we can put in the kingdom of man. But we're at the end time, in the time of the toes, in the time of the iron and the clay. And that's exciting when we see things crumbling around us, when we see things don't have the strength to hold together, when we see things dividing apart, and this division, we can say, okay, should we be worried? No, we shouldn't be worried. We shouldn't be worried, because our identification isn't in the iron and the clay. It's in the kingdom that's coming. It's in the stone that's going to smite the image and shatter it all to pieces. And even the strongest parts of that image were smashed to pieces by the stone that came. Where's your identification? This isn't a time to be depressed unless you're identified in the wrong kingdom. Okay? This is exciting times. This is one of the reasons to show why we are at the end time. And if we are at the end time, then Jesus is coming soon. And if Jesus is coming soon and you believe it, how are you living and how are you walking your life like he's coming soon? Okay? And when I say that, I'm preaching to myself as well. Okay? Have we got a reality in our minds of this. The Roman Catholic Church is the dragon, is the Daniel. It's, you know, it's so interesting. I have a book at home by Winston Churchill, History of the English-Speaking People. And he talks about how when the Roman Catholic Church came over to England and flooded England with missionaries, and they set up and they brought, and they had a vision of bringing all the Christians back into the Catholic fold. And I told you the tonsure. How many people know what a tonsure is? Sister Lenore, what's a tonsure? Yep. It's the haircut for a monk, if you like. Okay. And the Roman Catholic Church came to Britain and they had a disagreement over the tonsure, and it was so bitter, brothers and sisters, that the two churches split and agreed to go their separate ways. You see, the British Church believed that the tonsure should be, you keep the circle of hair at the top and shave the sides, whereas the Roman Catholic Church said you've got to keep the sides and shave the top.
Good grief.
Okay, that's the statement of history. I didn't bring all my notes, but that's there. Okay, that's one of the things. I can go and find that. But that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of bitterness that can happen over the smallest things if you have the wrong spirit leading you. Okay? And brothers and sisters, the Roman Catholic Church has the wrong spirit leading it. But Churchill recognized that the Roman Empire had come back, and he wrote this in his book, had come back to the shores of England in the guise of the Roman Catholic Church. Luther recognized that in his message, before his message, that the Roman Catholic Church was the Antichrist. But we've lost that. England recognized it so much that it was law that no Catholic, and it still is law today, that no Catholic can sit on the throne of England. Okay? They had similar issues in the United States. Okay. And why? Because the question is, do you owe your allegiance to the Pope, or do you owe your allegiance to the country you're governing? Something that's going to be tested at some point. Okay. And it seems like the Roman Catholic Church is out of power, but how many... Okay, you young folks, how many know what the Soviet Union was? Ancient history. Yeah? Okay. The Communist Empire. Did you know that the Pope, John Paul II, was pivotal in bringing down the Soviet system? Absolutely pivotal through his interactions with the freedom movement in Poland. Because he was from Poland. Okay, and he got permission to go and visit there, and that started the revolution that overthrew. Now, there's a bunch of different things involved. I'm not saying it was just that, but that was a very pivotal moment, you see. And it's really interesting that we've lost sight of the power. As a society, we've lost sight of the power that the Roman Catholic Church wields, that it controls. And then there's another interesting thing happening recently. How many have been listening to or followed Jordan Peterson at all? Yeah? He's a Canadian professor who's... You don't know him. You've heard of him. He came out with the book 12 Rules for Life. He's got a really interesting thought pattern that says, how does religion evolve out of the human condition? Okay? And years ago, I told Loyal Carlin this. I told him that that line of thought will end in saying the pinnacle of human religion is the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? And that's a statement that I've heard him made a couple of times, that it seems like the Roman Catholic Church is the balance between the religion and the science that we need. So it's recognized that there's a power in that. And it's recognized, it's so interesting to me that from being the outcast among the nations, and anyone who wanted to have a prosperous nation needed to get away from the Catholic Church. Now the Catholic Church has been seen as the most upstanding of the Christian churches because they haven't compromised on their beliefs. Now, I don't say they haven't compromised on the Word of God, but they haven't compromised on their beliefs, whereas all these Protestant churches are prepared to say, oh yeah, God loves us all. Come as you are. Let's have the rainbow coalition. You know what I mean? Come into our church. Everybody is welcome here. Instead of standing for principles of the Word of God, they compromise. But the Catholic Church stands on its principles and has become the touchstone of something that's solid and secure. And you watch, people will start coming back to the Catholic Church because of that solidity that's offering in these crazy times. But that's the beast, the dragon, that's mentioned, that's been identified. That's the place of stability in the world that people will go to and look to in the middle of disasters, because you've got to look to something. And the world will turn to the Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholic Church will show the iron that's still in it. So, wow. Spent 15 minutes on the first one. So we're not going to get too far this evening. All right. Let's talk about number two, the prophetic confirmation by Brother Branham. Everything that you think is because of what you believe. Okay, I'm going to combine two. A man who said things and they happened, you can believe him or not. Okay, you can believe him or not. The people around him, some believed him, some didn't. About, what would it be, 13 years ago, 2008, 2007, there was this Believe the Sign came out. And there was a switch among a group of people who followed the message from saying, let's prove how Brother Branham is a prophet, to saying, let's prove how Brother Branham isn't a prophet. That came because of a belief that informed a knowledge, rather than a knowledge that informed a belief. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, let me see if I can't... What you believe will decide, what you believe will show you what you see, will give you what you see. Okay? Belief comes first. Okay? So, I give you an example. If I believe that Brother Don is paying attention to me and he likes me, all right, if that's my belief, and it is, I'll pick on you for a while, passed it on, then everything I see, I'm like, oh, he's looking at me, he's paying attention, oh, he's looking at his Bible, wow, he must be thinking of something that we're talking about, oh, he's doing this, oh, and everything that I see is, I see in that vision that Brother Don likes me and he's listening to me, right? Now, you take someone who says, oh, that Brother Don, he hates me and he doesn't like to listen to me and I'm surprised he even lets me get up behind here. He could do exactly the same things. Oh, he's looking at me. Oh, he's looking kind of suspicious at me. Oh, he's looking at his Bible. He's really not paying attention to me. He's so distracted. All right? Oh, he's looking at me again. Oh, dear. Okay, so you see how what you believe will... It doesn't matter what Brother Don does. What I believe will tell me what's happening with him much more than anything that he could do. Okay? And there's a something inside you there's a relationship inside you with the Word of God that is going to tell you whether you believe something or you don't believe something. Okay? And the same is true with Jesus, with the Bible, with Brother Branham, with everything in your life. Everything in your life depends on what you believe. And what you believe, we know this from the Bible. We believe this from the Bible. We see this in the Bible. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you can't even hear without something from the Word of God. Okay? So there are people who read the Bible and they will highlight every single discrepancy that they see. And they will highlight all the contradictions that they see. And they will highlight everything and say, it's a piece of trash, throw it away. Okay? And I'm going to say, 60 years of that? Welcome to America in 2020. That's probably more than that. It's probably more like 70 years of that. All right? That's the path that leads down. But there are other people, they look at the Bible, and they wait on things, and then eventually things slot together, and they're not in a hurry. They say, I believe it. I don't understand it. God will show it to me in this time. And they stay faithful to it. Okay? Welcome to church. All right? Let's hold this. And it's the same with Brother Branham. You can look and you can say, look at all the errors he made. Oh, absolutely. Look at all the miracles he did. Well, you can find a reason for both of them. And if you have a doubt in your mind, okay, the answer is to go to God in prayer and to pray through till you find a place where you can rest. All right? And if the place that God gives you to rest on is outside of this fellowship, then go outside of this fellowship. Because it's better for you to live as true to what God has shown you to the best of your ability than to sit in here with a doubt and with a conflict in your mind, and that's the very definition of being lukewarm. Okay? So, but Brother Branham, he was a man who said things that happened. He was a man who said things that amazed people. How many heard Brother Perry Green's testimony about he came to Jeffersonville when he converted the mayor? Anyone hear that? I see if I can't remember it. He said, I went to Jeffersonville, and the kind of guy he is, a businessman, a starter, he went to the mayor's office. Hi, I'm Perry Green. I'm here to see the mayor. And then saw the mayor. He said, hey, did you know William Branham? He's a prophet. Oh, yeah, we know him. He's a prophet. He's living in our town. And he's like, oh, I've just converted the mayor. See? Because he had a reputation. Brother Branham had a reputation in that area that what he said happened. He was a prophet. Miracles happened. Amazing things happened. And they all saw that. But you didn't see the mayor going to church. Very happy to be identified. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. You see, but what you see and what you believe, what you see is informed by what you believe. And so you can see all the signs and wonders you like. You can hear all the preaching you like, but unless you have something inside you to catch on and to say, this means something, then it means I need to take another step forward in this way or in that way, it doesn't mean anything. It's just, it's just another form of entertainment. Yeah? And that's what people came to the meetings for. Oh, how many miracles are we going to see tonight? Oh, I don't want to leave until, and you can see Brother Branham struggled against that in the meetings where he'd say, it's a position of faith, but everyone wants to come and see something happen. He said, you could be healed right now. And then he'd call the prayer line and he'd do the discernment because everyone wanted to see the magic trick, right? And everyone who saw the magic trick miss the vindication that God was giving, and because they missed the vindication, they missed the message. I will send you, and this is his testimony, the man who talked to God. Oh, I love that. It's like the story of the rabbi. A rabbi talks to God. How do you know? A man that talks to God wouldn't lie. Like, well, that's absolutely the truth. You have to decide. The man who speaks to God is either crazy or he speaks to God. And just remembering what Brother Perry Greene said. He said, Brother Branham told him something that was going on. You better hurry up if you want to get those boys their haircut, if I remember correctly. And he said he thought inside himself, he's either crazy or this is like, and Brother Branham said, don't think like that. You see? So, like, okay. And I can hear the water splash yonder on the Ohio River. When I was a little old preacher boy, about 22 years old, singing that there, I heard and looked up above me and heard a voice saying, look up. And here come that big light hanging right yonder, came moving down over me and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you'll have a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. Oh, how could I believe it? But it happened just the same. And tonight, revival fires are burning around and around the world. Great ransom, Church of God lifted herself out of that place, and great campaigns of healings and signs and wonders and miracles showing forth the coming. And if that's true, and I believe it is true, then the fulfillment of Malachi 4 is there. Well, that's another 15 minutes gone. We're only two, and let's do one more. Well, maybe two more. Let's see. Oh, there's so much here that I want to share. But, all right. Here's a good one. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. And then we'll turn back to Daniel, and I'll just show you something that's happening right now. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'll do this one quickly, and we'll do one more, and then we'll close, okay? So, 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the salvation of God. For a helmet the hope of salvation, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Daniel 5. We'll just look at this story here. Peace, peace. Everyone is looking for peace. And they're saying, if only Israel could give away the Palestinians, we'll have peace. And if only we can give away to the Iranians, we'll have peace. And if only we could get out of Afghanistan, we'll have peace. And everyone's looking for that peace, but then there's going to come sudden destruction. Okay. Now, we're just going to read, this is chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Okay. And we know he had a feast, and there came the writing on the wall. And Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall. Okay? Let's go to verse 25. This is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, apharsin. Verse 26. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. But look at this verse here. Did you ever think about this? In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Did you know what happened that night? Did you know that feast took place in a city under siege? And that there was an army outside the gate waiting to go in, and the guards were on the wall, and they thought they were secure because they had the great walls that were running around the city. But they weren't secure, because the army of the Persians, great engineers that they were, they diverted the river. And they dug out and diverted the river away from its natural course. And the river ran under the walls. And when the river dried up, the army ran under the walls and conquered that city. And slew the king, who was so confident in his victory, and as a display of confidence and arrogance, and they'll never get us, and we're the greatest, invited 1,000 of his lords, the captains of his army, to drink wine before them. What was he trying to do? Boost their morale? Have confidence that our gods are greater than their gods? Let's call out the treasures of all the gods that we've conquered before. These people outside the walls, they're not big enough to conquer us. Look at all we've conquered. And they pulled out the treasures, and they pulled out, in their arrogance, the cups from the house of the Lord, the vessels of gold that were committed to the service of God, and they used them for foul feasting. But that night, his arrogance was made known. Because that night, something happened that he didn't expect, and his whole kingdom was destroyed. Brothers and sisters, that kind of reminds me. When they shall say, peace, peace, then comes sudden destruction. I wonder if that's what Paul was thinking of when he wrote that. And I wonder, is that what we'll be thinking of? Because here we are, Americans. All of us with enough to eat, all of us with a good place to sleep, all of us feasting, okay? And I trust, brothers and sisters, that we're doing it in a righteous way. But you know, brothers and sisters, this country is not doing it in a righteous way. You know, this country is feasting on all of the sins of the flesh. And they're not just doing it in the drinking houses. They're not just doing it in the casinos. They're doing it in the churches. They're bringing the name of God into disrepute in this day and saying, but we're at ease, we're peace, we're comfortable. Nothing can harm us. We've got God on our side. Look, we can bring the strangers into the church. We can fellowship with the Muslims, and we're all one big family. See? Then comes sudden destruction. Alright? But don't be a part of that. We're not of those that are drunk in the night and those that feast in the night. We're of those that are sober. We're of those that are vigilant, who keep our armor on us. And if we aren't, well, we're near the end time. Gird up your loins. You know what gird up your loins mean? No? Okay, so in the land of Israel, they didn't wear trousers. They wore the long coats, right? And so what they would do is they would gird them up. So you kind of grab a bit from the bottom and you'd pull it up and you'd tuck it into your belt and you kind of make yourself a little pair of like big shorts, if you understand what I mean. So your legs would be free and then you could run and you could work and do those things. So girding up is prepare to work. Get your clothes in a state where you're ready for action. Okay? So that's what girding up your loins means. All right? So I have to come in a robe one day and show you. Or maybe that's a project for Josh in Sunday school. I don't know. Okay, it's a project for me one day. So girding up your loins. Be prepared. All right. They got 5 minutes. Ah, boy. I'll do one more. That's really interesting. Mark. Oh, there's so much here. But let's go to Mark chapter 13. I have to do this as a Bible study, Sister Lenore. After we finished the tabernacle one, which we've been doing for about a year and a half now, so yeah. All right. Verse 5. Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. And when ye hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in divers places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. So, just quickly now. I read a statistic. There has been a tenfold increase in natural disasters since 1960s. Okay? That's from Vision of Humanity. The US government says 2020 was a record-shattering year of billion-dollar disaster events across the world. And they have a little table here, and I copied it down. And from 1980 to 2020, there's an average of 7 events, billion-dollar disaster events per year. Okay? But if you break that down and you say, okay, what about from 2010 to 2020? It starts to ramp up because from 2010 to 2020, there are 13 billion dollar disasters per year. I don't know. That's actually a good question. I didn't look at that. It may. I would have to check to see what the answer to that question is. 2016 to 2020, if we take it even shorter, the last 4 years, 16 billion dollar events or multiple billion dollar events per year. Now you can say there are explanations for that. There are more people, there are more living in stranger places, and the news gets reported and people are able to help more, and that's all fine, that's all good. But there's an increase in the number of natural disasters. Okay? Which is in line with what the scripture says. And that's another reason, showing why we're at the end time, because it's a fulfillment of the prophecies in the Bible. Brothers and sisters, there's the days of Lot we could go into, there's the days of Noah, there's the increase in knowledge. Okay? It's incredible. You can get a micro SD chip. They're tiny. I remember big. And you can put all the knowledge of the world on that. You know, encyclopedias, Bibles, anything that you want. Well, I believe we're at the end time. I believe that these four or five reasons that we went through show that. I believe that's what they're demonstrating. I believe there are many other reasons that I don't know about because I don't have that perfect knowledge of all things. Okay? But just one or two things that we can pick out this evening and say these are the reasons why we most assuredly believe what we do believe. And it's not a question of saying we believe this and so we should be depressed. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draws nigh. Okay? And so, if you look at the world and the things of the world, you are going to be depressed. Okay? Garbage in, garbage out. Okay? If you look at God, and your vision is focused on Him. And you can see what's going on around you within the context of looking at God. You are not going to be depressed. You're going to be excited. And you know, I think God likes us to be a little bit depressed sometimes. I do. I have a scripture for that. The disciples. After Jesus died, I think they were a bit depressed, weren't they? They were hiding. They didn't know what to do. They talked among themselves and they were sad. Okay? And God likes us to be in that state sometimes so He can come alongside us and say, what are you thinking about? What are these things you're talking about while you walk along and you're so miserable? Oh, Lord. Oh, man. Just America's falling apart. Nobody's worshipping you, God. There are disasters everywhere. There's a plague that's sweeping across the world. Christians are dying from it. There's all these troubles. There's all this. Oh, I'm feeling kind of down, Lord. And there's all these problems going on everywhere. And this person needs help and that person needs help. And he'll say, well, yeah, but haven't you considered, oh fool and slow of heart, that these are the signs of something happening? Oh, they are? Yeah, don't you see in the scripture that I said, earthquakes and famines in diverse places? Oh, yeah, I remember. Now, you know what that's associated with? That's associated with the coming of the Lord. Oh, that sounds a bit better. You know, with these nations falling apart and everyone turning homosexuality and perverseness and sin rising, yeah, it's really terrible. It's so, oh my goodness. But you know what that's a sign of? That's a sign of the days of Noah. Yeah. Oh Lord, you should just destroy the whole earth again. And me too, because I'm so miserable. No. But you know what Jesus said when it's like the days of Noah? That's when I'm coming again. Oh, you mean this is a sign that the coming of Jesus is near? Yeah. Oh, can you feel a bit better about that now? Okay. Can you feel encouraged? Can you feel like this is a reason to press on? This is a reason to stay faithful. Because we don't have long left. Okay? And so. And then you'd be like, Lord, but I'm so miserable. I can hardly pray. I can hardly do anything right. I'm just so depressed, and I'm just thinking about giving it all up. And he says to you, well, that's okay. Don't you remember those guys who walked to Emmaus? You know, they were about to give it all up, go back to their old lives. They didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Well, that was when Jesus came and he told them that he'd risen from the dead. Yeah. That's what I'm doing to you now. Telling you I'm risen from the dead. I'm coming back and these are the signs and you don't have to be depressed. Oh boy, they didn't get far on their journey away from God, away from where the Holy Spirit was going to be. God came back, he walked with them, and he walked away from where he wanted them, with them. And then when he got to the furthest point away that he was going to, he left them. Like, what are you going to do now? Oh, they ran back to the city, we've seen the Lord. So these things should encourage us, should strengthen us, should tell us that the signs of the time are here. That the Lord is coming soon. Light your lamps. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's prepare. For we're not of those that are of the night, but of those that are of the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you show us these things. We thank you that you're coming soon. Help us to be encouraged, Lord. Help us to walk faithful to you. If we're getting down and away and depressed, help us to just find courage and walk that narrow, find it, bring us enthusiasm, Lord. Bring us the energy that you brought to those two that you brought to Emmaus. That we wouldn't be down and depressed. That we wouldn't struggle with this life, but that we would overcome this life by looking to that kingdom, just as Abraham did. Looking for that kingdom, that city whose builder and maker is God. Let us enter into those promises, Lord. Let us be encouraged tonight as we remember, Lord, that your passing and the sacrifice that you made for us. May we remember why, that there was a goal in mind. And may we be caught up in that goal and remain there, Lord, till you come and we meet you in the air. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hold on.
End time for sure, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just for the what it's worth department, strange days that we're living in. Mary and I went to the bank today, and our little Golden Valley branch was shut down. And so we've found another branch, and the drive up was open, so we asked them what happened to the Golden Valley branch. They said nobody wants to work. They shut it down. Serious. And then the person who was waiting on me says I was a branch manager in a Crystal Bank, and I lost a teller in January. It took him till the next November to find a replacement. Nobody wants to work. Derange, huh? Did you ever feel, brothers and sisters, the love affair with the Lord Jesus increasing all the time when you see these things? And how precious he is and how precious his blood is to cover us, stay under that precious token of his life. And this time, more than ever, it's real, and it's protection. And we pray it over all of our loved ones, and we give him thanks because it's his literal life. Now, as I was in the study, we're preparing for partaking of the elements tonight. I just felt the Lord... Somebody needs to hear this little bit of encouragement. So I'm going to read something from the adoption before we read the scripture and partake. How can you preach predestination of God foreordaining and setting unless there's a sin atonement somewhere? Why is it each day you make a mistake? Each day you do wrong. But if you're born again, man or woman, as soon as you make that mistake, God knows you're sorry for it. You can stand and say, I'm wrong. God, forgive me for this thing. Why? Because there's a blood atonement for you. You notice it's S-I-N-S. A sinner is a sinner. He doesn't commit sins, but the church commits sins. The church does wrong, gets wrong. A wrong thought, a wrong impression, makes scruples, wobbles, like a little child walking, trying to learn how to walk. He just don't know how to walk yet, because he's a little boy. But we have a hand that reaches down for us, and gets us, and steadies us, and says, make this step this way, son. And he doesn't pick up and spank us, because we made a mistake. He doesn't beat us to death because we're trying to walk. He loves us like we love our children. A real daddy wouldn't whip his child when he's trying to walk if he falls down on the floor. Reach right down with a big strong hand and pick him up and take both hands and hold him. This is the way you do it, son. Walk like this. That's the way God does his church. Reaches down and gets them in his arm and picks them up and says, walk like this, son. What a wonderful, wonderful Lord we have. So as we're partaking of his elements tonight with thanksgiving, how precious is this? You hold that cup in your hands and take that body that was broken and that little broken wafer. Oh God, thank you. How could we ever thank you enough? We can't. Truly. Mm-hmm. That's why we'll spend all eternity giving him praise and thanksgiving for these things. What a great redemption. What great salvation. So, if you fall down, get up. He's there to take you by the hand and lift you up. That's our God. Amen. Servers, would you come? For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wow, isn't that beautiful? There's a sacrifice on our behalf as long as we're here, as long as we're partaking of this. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastised of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If you're a son, you'll be chastised. Now, his Father saying to you, I love you. That's our God. Would you ask a blessing on the bread, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us, that you would come and that you would die for us. Mm-hmm. May we tonight, Lord, judge ourselves. May we judge ourselves as under the blood. Lord, any part of us that's not represented here, any part that isn't prepared to be broken for you, Lord, may we identify it through your grace, and may we give it to you, that we could be holy in your service, bearers of your body, your blood, and to take that message out somewhere there's someone who needs to hear it, who needs to come under your blood and be part of your body.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to have that energy, to have that mission that you gave to us. Help us, Lord, to judge ourselves tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we are here tonight numbered amongst the most privileged people, Lord, on the earth, to be able to have communion with our Lord. And knowing, Lord, that just as our brother so ably did, showing the signs of the times, that we are in it, in the throes of it, if it were, Lord, as we could say that, Lord. But truly, we can look up, our redemption draweth nigh. That should bring such comfort to our hearts and such encouragement, Lord, just to spread our wings, mm-hmm, and to catch the wind of your Spirit, Lord, as it's sweeping in, just to rise us up into the ramparts of faith, to bring to pass all those things, Father, that you've promised. We believe it, Lord, for as you have said it, so shall it be.
Mm-hmm.
We are people here, sitting here and online, believing, thus saith the Lord, believing that your word will not return to you void. It'll accomplish that thing wherein you have purposed it. It'll prosper in that thing wherein you have sent it, Lord. Your word is steadfast and it is sure and it is certain. And we are so thankful for that, Lord, and you sent a prophet to prepare the way and to show that your word is true, to get us ready. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for these and many other reasons, Lord, we stand tonight most privileged. And we're so thankful. We are humbly thankful. And so, Lord, as we partake of this wine, which represents the blood that was shed, and not just that, Lord, the Spirit that was given and imparted unto your church, that stimulation that comes by the revelation of your word, that life that comes back on the believer and causes him to live your word.
Mm-hmm.
What a glorious thing. We pray truly, Father, that you just bless all who partake. And this we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's come and partake. need to be taken together. Jesus, we know, took that place as servant and ordered us to do the same thing. But what are we doing with what we're washing? Why? Verse 8 of chapter 13 of John, Peter said unto him, Thou shalt not wash my feet. And Jesus answered, If I wash you not, you don't have any part with me. That's pretty amazing. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said, He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all of you. For speaking of course, Judas Iscariot. Just before we go, it's very common in the Christian community when we come to wash, what are we doing? How do I wash? How do I clean you up? How do I help? And with that, and you say, well, I'm going to exhort a brother, I'm going to correct them, I'm going to correct them in the word or wash them up. There is so often a sense of superiority. But when you're at his feet, you can't have that. I come to help, I come to wash, but I'm lower than you. I come as your servant, not as a sign of superior or anything, but think of the master of the universe, came into flesh and came below everybody, okay, to clean us up. Can we clean one another up? Yeah, we're supposed to. Encourage one another in the word, correct, draw our attention back into the word, but look at our position he wants us to take. Sister Lenore, before you go, and Marianne, there's just a couple single sisters, and they have a very difficult time driving in the evening. And I just want you to know, she came by faith. And I know Sister God honors faith always. I have a little sign in my study that was given to me that said, faith makes things possible, not easy. But you took a step of faith and God will honor it. And I'm just going to ask, let's just pray her home safely, okay? Okay. Amen. Josh, would you pray for her? And yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's prepare for foot washing. Where do we go? Guys want to go here? Girls, where do you have a preference? Ladies first. Okay, guys, let's head out.